Good morning, church and community of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is believed to have been written by David when the Jewish tribes came together and unanimously named him the king. Finally, after many years of infighting between the Jewish tribes, there was peace among them. To David, this was even more wonderful than being anointed king. This was the peace of God. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Mel. I forgot to mention this in the prayers, and I don't remember the name. Some of you may know. A friend of Stephen Brittany Hurst had been sick for several months and died, leaving behind a wife and children, and died of West Nile virus. It's not something we hear much about, but let's be in prayer. I know his last name starts with a B, and I just cannot remember it. But God knows who it is, and just be in prayer. Well, I want to welcome you once again this morning in the first day of our 30-day church challenge. And I heard recently about a little boy who was playing out in the yard one day. A man came down the street looking very frustrated. He said to the boy, "Son, I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to the post office?" The boy said, "Sure, you just go up to the stop sign, take a left, and the post office will be almost immediately over on your left." The man thanked him and said, "By the way, I'm the new pastor in town. If you'll come to my church on Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy looked at him and thought for a second and said, "No thanks. If you can't find the post office, I don't think you can tell me how to get to heaven." "Well, I know where the post office is at.
Take right out of the parking lot and stand on
your left." Over the next 30 days, I want to help us get to a place maybe you've never been before, and help our church reach our God-given potential. I don't know that any church has actually reached their full potential. Today we're starting an adventure called a 30-day church challenge. The dictionary defines a challenge as a call to take part in a contest or a competition. For the next 30 days, you and I are entering a contest designed to deepen our relationship with God and each other and to discover what the church was really meant to be. We're going to do what the church once did in Acts chapter 2, to become the church God wants us to be and experience a spiritual life at a deeper and a more intimate level. The power of a challenge. In 1930, a man named Hahn invented a wilderness learning experience that he called Outward Bound. Think backpacking, whitewater, rafting, dog sledding, rock climbing, all these really neat outdoor hard things to do. And he believed that character development is as important as academic achievement. And he found that when people were put in challenging, adventurous situations, they gained confidence, they redefined their perceptions of their personal capabilities, demonstrated compassion for others, and developed a sense of camaraderie. In his leadership of Outward Bound, Hahn discovered that personal growth accelerates when there are challenging situations that one is put into. His wilderness challenges were so effective that over the past 80 years, thousands of people have given up their weekends and their lives and paid significant amounts of money to climb mountains and go on challenging trails and down rapid rivers and rappel off treacherous cliffs. Today, Outward Bound sponsors wilderness adventures in more than 30 countries, helping people grow in character towards the power of a challenge that stretches them in ways that they would not normally stretch themselves in everyday life. Outward Bound and similar experiences has taught us a thing about accelerated growth, and that is, people grow better when they grow and do it together. Put a single man or a woman out in the wilderness, and some people do it, and unless there's somebody like Bear Grylls, he's probably going to flounder and die. But put a group of people out there, and the power of community bonds them together and enables them to do things that they would never be able to do or have attempted to do on their own, and the chances of survival go way, way up. By our very nature, we grow better when we decide to take challenges, not independently, but we decide to take challenges together. For as long as anyone can remember, military men and women have issued what they call challenge coins. We don't know when the tradition started, but one of the legends is that during World War I, a young lieutenant gave solid bronze coins out to the people in his squadron as mementos for their service together. One of the pilots put in his leather pouch and tied it around his neck, and when he was shot down behind German lines and he was when they were confiscated all his personal belongings, they left the pouch around his neck. And that night he escaped and crept across no man's lands and he came in contact with the French resistance. The French believed that he was a German spy and threatened to execute him unless he could prove that he was an American. So he pulled out his coin, which saved his life, because it had the insignia of the U.S. Army on that coin. After that, his squadron determined that every member of their crew would carry a coin with them at all times. Every Sunday during this series, I'm going to issue a new challenge related to one of the five purposes of the church. And your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to step up to the challenge. Monday through Saturday, we'll read a short devotional from a 30-day challenge book. The book said $10. Bill started his class this morning. Mine starts Wednesday. And you can read and you can catch up. We'll be a little behind because the books came in late. But it's so short, you can do it easily. And every daily entry will give us a small, simple step to take that day, which by the end of the week will help us achieve that weekly challenge. And you'll discover how our church can help you reach your God-given potential, strengthen your own relationship with God, and how we can become a church that can transform not just ourselves, but we can help transform the community that is around us. And our objective is that at the end of the 5-week, 30-day church challenge, we won't just be the church or be coming to church. We will become the church that God has called us to be. A community of faith, powerful, inspirational, and transformational, touching our community with the power and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of our challenges will be related to one of the five purposes of the church from Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And the five purposes are cultivate authentic community, experience worship as part of your not just Sunday morning, but your daily lifestyle. Take successive steps for spiritual growth. Practice personal stewardship. And reach out to the world or the community that is around us. So these are the challenges we'll be seeking to master and talk about over the next 5 weeks. And the first is today, authentic community. Acts chapter 2 church excelled at that. They had devoted themselves to the church and to each other. You know, some people go to large churches, they just come to church, then they leave. They don't really develop relationships with other people. And I don't like that. I like the small church where we really can devote ourselves to one another, get to know one another, and we can become a family, and then we can even break it down more into small units, and we can know this unit in an intimate way, and then know everyone, maybe not quite as intimate, but still in a relationship way. Last week we learned that one of the things that made the first church, which was born in Midtown Jerusalem, so special was that the people in the church made time for relationships. Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They held everything in common. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They cultivated authentic community. One of the things you'll discover when you get involved in a really good church is that church isn't a building you go to, it's a family you belong to. And for every person, the center of a family is usually a small group that meets together regularly so that people can study spiritual truths together. And in the process, come to a place where they can know and be known by the other people, love and be loved, serve and be served, celebrate and be celebrated for who they are. So how do we experience that? How do we experience authentic community the way God means for it to be and the way the early church was doing it? You make time for it. You commit to an intentional group of people on a weekly basis. You sign up for a group and you make it a priority to show up for that. In day one of the 30-day church challenge in the book, you read about the relationship between David and Jonathan. David was the son apparent to the throne of Israel, or Jonathan was, and David was the commanding general of Saul's army. These were two busy guys, but they knew the power of relationship. So even in the midst of all their responsibilities, they made time to spend with one another. They made time for it, and both of them were better men for it. Because relationships don't just happen. You and I need to deliberately make time. We can't have deeper relationships with everyone, but we can cultivate authentic relationships with a few people. Now, first week's challenge in this 30-day challenge is to commit to joining a small group class or ministry so we can experience the power of authentic community. So I'm asking you, can you commit to a small group and meet once a week for the next 5 weeks? If one of our small groups don't fit you, I don't want to make it happen. Once you made that commitment, the second step to an authentic community is you contribute to it. You show up for the small group, but a good group bonds together, gels together when the members of the group make a conscious effort to contribute to the group. You know, it might be you bring a dessert to the group or some drinks, or you go to the meeting and the second meeting someone didn't show up, you take a responsibility and say, I'll call them, see if something's wrong, are they sick, are they work, why aren't they here? And during the group meetings, everyone pays attention. Everyone tries to add a comment if they're not so shy that they can't talk, so that really good discussions happen. And the bottom line is that you learn to live together, speak the truth and love to one another, and make each other's lives better as a result of it. And third step is you take a genuine interest in the lives of each other. This is usually fairly easy for women, but it's not as easy for men. It's just the way that we're wired. So men, at least during this 5 weeks, if you're in Bill's group on Sunday morning or my group starting this Wednesday, if you come, I'm asking you to try to take a genuine interest in what is going on with the people's lives in your group. Then in your prayer time, every day, I hope that you'll pray for the members of your group. So what does authentic community feel like, and what is this effect, and what is this impact? Psalm 131 is almost exactly in the middle of the Bible. And it's one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. And Psalm 133 was written by King David, who experienced the power of authentic community in the company of close friends who were called David's mighty men. That phrase in verse 1, when brothers live together in unity. I love that. When brothers live together in unity. It's what we call community. In other words, unity and community are interchangeable words. I believe David is speaking much more about living together in a tight communal relationship than simply keeping peace and not arguing or having discord. That's why I say Psalm 133 is a song written about the power of authentic community. The opening verse is very explanatory. It's good and pleasant to be in a community with a few people. But the next line, what's all the talk about oil and Aaron's beard? And then the final verse, what's he saying about dew falling on a guy named Hermon? In David's day, there were two great offices in the nation of Israel. One was the office of the king. David held that office after Saul's death and became the second king of Israel. And the other was the office of the high priest of the nation. That position was hereditary, being passed from father to son in the lineage of the first high priest, who was Aaron, the brother of Moses. The office of the high priest was for life. Once you were in, you were in. So most people only got to see the anointing of the high priest once in their lifetime. And when it happened, it was a tremendous ceremony because the person being anointed was the person who was going to represent them before God on a daily basis. It's not like us that we can go to God on our own. They went to God through the high priest. And the high priest would also make it possible for their sins to be forgiven once a year on the Day of Atonement. When a high priest was to be anointed, the whole nation would gather together in Jerusalem. And after some prayers, a special mixture of oil and spices, a mixture used only for the anointing of the high priest and nothing else in all of Israel, was poured lavishly over the head of the new high priest. So much oil was poured over his head that oil ran down both sides of his head, down into his beard and onto his priestly robes. Unless they were lucky enough to outlive the high priest, the fragrance given off by this anointing oil would only be smelled once in a person's lifetime. When David, who experienced the power of authentic community in the company of close friends, searched for a way to describe how good and pleasant it is, he pictured a once-in-a-lifetime nationwide event and said, "It's like that." Authentic community with a few close friends gives off the same level of joy as the celebration of anointing a high priest. Just so nobody misses exactly how important true community is to David, he gives a second analogy in verse 3. Here he says, it's like the dew of Hermon falling onto Mount Zion. The land of Israel had a very dry climate, still does. And it's only a very short rainy season. And after that, all plants and animals have to survive on the moisture that comes from one natural source, and that's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon sits on the northern end of Israel and is the highest mountain in Israel. The summit reaches high enough that when the wind blows eastward off the Mediterranean, it catches the moisture of the sea. This moisture then flows down Mount Hermon and waters all the surrounding area, even to Jerusalem, which sits on Mount Zion. Without the dew of Hermon, most plant life in Israel would die. David is saying, you know the effect Mount Hermon has on everything around it. That's the effect authentic community has, not only on those experiencing it, but even on those in relationship distance of you and the community of faith that you are in, for us, the church, which is true. If you've ever been around someone who is truly happy, it's contagious. They're laughing, it's almost hard not to laugh. That disposition begins to rub off on you. People in great communal relationships tend to be happier. They tend to be more content than those doing life all on their own. So there is a contagious and cascading effect to this community. If you're happy, then other people around you begin to get happy. And if we're happy as a church, people see that and feel it when they come in, and then they want to be part of a place that is happy. People don't want to be a part of a church that is fighting, or the people are sour, or they're putting out negative comments. They come in, they hear that, they're out the door, and they will look for some other body of Christ. So if real community is so precious, why aren't we all experiencing it? Because many of us are too busy looking for the good life somewhere else. We're involved in our kids' little league, which is a good thing. And we're involved in our careers, which is a good thing. And we're involved in our family chores, which is good, we have to be. And exercise, which is another good thing. Paying our bills, something we have to do. Watching TV and taking vacations, things that are part of life. All these things are necessary in our life. And so many other things at our fingertips that it's easy to miss the most important thing of all. Because sometimes I think we feel like, well, I can put this off. But let me ask you a few questions. Do you want the joy and unity that community brings? Do you want the spirit of celebration that doing life together in church brings? Do you want to bring life and refreshment to your family, to your friends, and even your acquaintances? And are you willing to invest some time in order to do that? So as I said earlier, the first weekly challenge, should you choose to accept it, is to join, attend, and contribute to a small group. In my opinion, you get the most out of this 30-day challenge by doing three things. Attend the weekend service so you're up to the subject for the week. Read the daily material in the 30-day challenge book. And last but not least, be part of a small group. If you can do life together with others and learn the truth together. If that is just not possible for you for whatever reason, then be creative. Gather with your family. You can listen to the sermon on the website. Just go to the website, click on media. That sermon for the week will be there, and you can listen to it. Gather with your family. Listen to the sermon. Talk about it. Read the scriptures for that sermon. Pray with your family. If you can, purchase one of the books and read through that. After all, community should start at home. If you're a veteran of small groups and never led one before, during these 5 weeks, I want you to get together with your small group leader, Bill, or myself, and have them teach you or show you what you can do to become a small group leader yourself. Your challenge is to say to your small group leader, apprentice me. Leonard, apprentice me. Show me how I can start a small group. Bill, show me how I can start a small group. It doesn't have to be in the church. It can be that you get two or three ladies together and you go to a restaurant, Starbucks, wherever, have a cup of coffee, choose a book that you want, read through it, and just discuss it together. You do not have to be a teacher. Some people get so threatened. It can just be a discussion group. You've been in book clubs before, some of you. You can just sit and talk about it. There's not always a right and a wrong. Little prayer, little discussion, little coffee, coffee cake. Have a good time. Celebrate. Or you can do it at your home. You can do whatever you want to. And if you've never been in a group, this is a good time to start. So your challenge is to show up, contribute by doing your reading, and take a genuine interest in others' lives. So my prayer is that we may truly become the church that God has called us to be by cultivating authentic, loving, long-lasting relationships. May God bless you. Amen.